on this edition of The Self-Publishing Show.
We trust each other completely. And I think that's what really makes this work.
Yeah, right. No ego.
Right. It's not like, oh, I did this part and Chuck did this part. It's like, no, this is our project. These are our books. And yeah, it just works out really well.
Publishing is changing. No more gatekeepers. No more barriers. No one standing between you and your readers. Do you want to make a living from your writing? Join indie bestseller Mark Dawson and first-time author James Blatch as they shine a light on the secrets of self-publishing success. This is The Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
Hello and welcome to The Self-Publishing Show, the very first episode of 2023. I suppose we could have a quick look back at 2022. Mark Dawson.
Shit.
Yeah.
yes. I'll be honest, it's been a bit shit.
Keep it light, mate.
Well, I know.
It has been hard for you this last month.
It's been very difficult. But you know, with some bright spots, it was a difficult end to the year. But it had lots of positive moments as well. So it's just life, isn't it? You know, it's one of those things. As we get a little older, there's the challenges that we have to deal with. And that's what we've done. But you know, generally, and by the time this goes out, in fact, several weeks before this goes out, because we're recording this early, I will have posted what I think is could be quite a good little Facebook post about the things I've learned from the first. Remember that article I had with the Forbes article back in the day where Forbes interviewed me at London Book Fair, and it caused. I certainly wouldn't say it went viral because that would be over egging the pudding a bit, but it certainly was when before people knew me. It was one of the things that introduced me to other authors in what we were doing back in 2014 or 15. So it was a long while ago. Anyway, and then comparing that with the article I had in Business Insider this year, towards the end of this year, which kind of looks at some changes between the two. And I started writing this post last night, and I was going to do 10 things I've learned, or 10 kind of lessons that I would suggest are important that I've learned over the course of the 10 years I've been doing this. And by the time I finished, I just got in the zone. I finished at midnight, and I'd written about 40 points. So there's tons. I think some people will think some of them are wrong. Others might think some of them are a bit controversial. But it's useful as I think it'd be a nice kind of debate stuff. So anyway, this is probably moot because this will have been posted by now. But if in the event that you haven't seen it, go to the Facebook community and you can check that out.
Yes. Okay. Well, I look forward to reading your pearls of wisdom. And you've had an article about yourself in Business Insider. Again, that's happened mid-December when we're recording this. Business Insider, is that its own magazine, or is it part of the WSJ or something? Or do you know?
I think it's its own magazine. So it's behind a paywall, the article. And this was something that Amazon asked me to do. So they interviewed me in December. It's one of those kind of weird ones. I've got no approval on it, so I'm not important enough to say I want to approve or kind of amend things before publication.
It's called editorial freedom, Mark.
It is, yeah. And also it's written, but the thing is, it was written in my voice. It was written in the first person. So I'm like, well, this has to be right, because if it sounds like I'm saying Facebook ads have never been successful for me, and I'm like, well, that's complete, you know, BS. So anyway, that's turns out it was fine. It is worth noting, and it is noted at the start of the article, that it was written by the journalist after speaking to me, but I didn't write it, if you know what I mean.
Yes, that's how they do those things. Anyway, that was good for you, and all good for indie publishing. Is what I always think. The more people realize what's going on, the better. Okay, our interviewees today, there are two of them, are going to be a collaborative team writing sci-fi and fantasy. We'll talk a bit about the genre, but a lot about writing together, writing with a partner. Before then, Mark, our last shout out, last chance to get into the Facebook group to join our Facebook ads challenge for 2023. The location to go, the URL is selfpublishingformula.com/Facebook challenge, all one word. And there you can join us. You can join thousands of other people already in the group to go through a day-by-day set of challenges that will get you up and running with Facebook ads, get your foot in the door with a very, very important platform. And a platform, frankly, like all of these ones, Mark, where it's easy to lose money if you don't do things properly. And that is an off-putting experience, I think, for lots of indie authors when they first have a go. But hopefully we are, in fact, the whole of SPF really is built around getting that right and optimizing so that these platforms work for you.
Yeah, exactly. So you will need a little bit of a small budget, very small budget. In fact, it could be as small as $5 for the expedition. But with that, you should, touch wood, I'm quite confident, you should get some subscribers for your mailing list. So if you're caught in that intractable problem of how do I find readers to enjoy my stuff, this is a very good way to do that. And everyone, the aim is everyone leaves the challenge or the expedition at the end of the week with some subscribers on their mailing list.
Okay. So that URL again, selfpublishingformula.com/Facebook challenge. Just go along there, join the Facebook group and join us as we go through the challenge together. Right. We are on to our interviewees then. As I say, it's a couple. I met them in Las Vegas at 20 Books Vegas back in November of 2022 and got chatting to them. They looked for all, I have to say, I did say this again in the interview, because they do, the way they talk to each other and way they present themselves, they look for all the world like a married couple, but they're not. They're just friends who've been working together for a long time now. I think they were working together for 10 years before they thought, let's start writing together. And you'll hear their story. They are successful with their writing, which is fantastic. They've got a really good partnership and talk a lot about how to make that work. It might be something that works for you or could work for you in the future. So this is them. It's Kerry Flanagan and Chuck Harrelson. And Mark and I will be back for a quick chat at the end.
This is the Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
Kerry Flanagan, Chuck Harrelson, thank you very much indeed for coming to the Self-Publishing Show. We're going to be talking about sci-fi, which we love talking about. I love talking about. We're going to be talking about collaboration and writing together. We had a conversation in Vegas, actually, which sparked my interest in this. I think you have a really good working relationship. I think you really do. So let's get into that and see how that works. But why don't you individually perhaps tell me a bit about your background first? I want to start with you, Kerry.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having us. And it was fun chatting with you in Vegas. So I have been in the writing industry for over 20 years now. Started with freelance writing and doing lots of work in magazines, and then ended up starting my own writing organization in Colorado, where I live, and ran that for 10 years. And now working with Chuck on the, on our sci-fi and fantasy books. And I also work with writers on the side with consulting and teaching.
What's a writing organization?
So at the time I founded it because there was nothing in my area to bring writers together. So I started Northern Colorado Writers and offered classes and an annual conference, retreats, and just an organization to bring writers together.
Great.
And it's still going on, which
wow.
I love.
Superb.
Yeah.
Chuck, about you.
Let's see. I've been writing for about 10 years, maybe 12, something like that. And started off, I was a firefighter and I was writing kind of on my days off and in the evenings. And now I'm retired, of course. And so I could write full time, which was, that's an incredible something, a lot of people don't get to do. But just like Kerry said, we started writing together and started our sci-fi series. And about 5 years ago, that's kind of where that started.
And did you get to the point where you were writing and earning money from your writing whilst you were doing your firefighting and then sort of quit the firefighting? Or did you just naturally come to the end of your firefighting career?
Yeah, it was the end of my firefighting career. So it all worked out really well.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Well, look, you both write together sci-fi, but I think it started out like that, did it, Kerry? You didn't write. What did you write before?
I was doing magazine writing. So magazine writing and nonfiction. So that's where my background is. And then working with writers.
And then tell me. Sorry, go on.
I know, I was just going to say, and that's how Chuck and I met. So through my writing organization, he joined the organization and had a manuscript that he wanted some help with, so a fantasy manuscript. So we started working together there, and I helped him with his manuscript, and then some writing projects came up for me, so he started helping me with mine, and pretty soon we were just going back and forth with writing projects and found that we worked really well together.
And the sort of help you're giving each other, like developmental storyline, character arc, that sort of thing.
Yes. And Chuck is a great accountability partner. So I was working on a nonfiction book for Writer's Digest. It's the Writer's Digest Guide to Magazine Article Writing. And he helped keep me on track. I don't know if I ever would have gotten it done without him holding me to the fire saying, where's your next chapter? So it was super helpful.
Now, I will say this, that when I was chatting to you, I assumed you were a couple. And I'm going to say that, and you laugh now and you laugh then. But I think you've probably had that before, because you do have a very natural way of working with each other that looks a bit like you got married 20 years ago. that's what it looks like from the outside. It seems to me, Chuck, does it feel like that from the inside? Like, people talk about work wife, don't they? But I guess that's that sort of thing.
Yeah, actually, I hear that all the time. Yeah. Whenever we're together, we're constantly, telling people, no, we're not married. But yeah, it's we work together so well. It's just supernatural, and I think that's why the partnership, works out so well. Is, it's one of the most important things, is finding the right person, of course, to work with. And like I said, whenever we're together, it's, everything is supernatural. We get along really well. And it's the same when we're working together, when we're writing together, everything just kind of jives. Everything works out great.
Yeah. And just to clarify, when you say it's supernatural when you're together, you mean it's very natural, not
supernatural. Yeah.
There's something I'm missing here.
I was missing something too. It's natural, that's all.
But
get along really well.
That organic start you had, where you just started working with each other, I can imagine, Chuck, at that point with your writer, you probably didn't imagine that you would be sending notes to another writer, but that seemed to be a natural progression for the way that you helped each other.
Yeah. It was, that was actually my very first manuscript, and I was looking for somebody to help me with it. I met Carrie, and thank goodness, Carrie was the very first person I ever met in the writing world, which, coincidentally, that's now it's the person that, we write together all the time. But, she helped me with that. And,
you helped her as well.
Yeah. We went back and forth, and it was kind of a natural progression. She was a huge help on that first manuscript, which, we went around with that for quite a while. And of course, now it's in a drawer and never anywhere.
Right.
as first manuscripts go, I learned so much. And with that first manuscript, we just learned that, we worked together really well. And, she had some things, she needed read over, just needed a new set of eyes on. And, so she sent it to me, and that's kind of where we learned, our partnership kind of worked out really well together. And we kind of traded stuff. It was kind of an even trade back and forth, back and forth.
The best kind of trades, even ones. So Kerry, when did you decide to write a book together?
It was 2017. So however many years ago that is, I had been encouraging Chuck to start self-publishing, because he had been going the traditional route and was getting frustrated. Mm-hmm. And I said, look, there's this other world out there that you should explore. But as you know, that could be a little scary on your own. So we talked about it and said, well, what if we did it together? So I said, if you're going to self-publish, because he had had it with the rejections from agents. And I said, well, let's do it together, so it's not quite so scary. And then we researched the market to see what was working. And of course, romance was working. So we did venture into that a little bit, wrote a couple novellas, but realized that was not quite our thing. So those will just remain as they are, we'll pretend they aren't there. They were good to get us going and writing together. But now our focus is on the sci-fi and fantasy.
Yeah. I guess they were useful for getting used to writing together and ironing out some of that stuff. But yeah, Chuck, have you ever written romance before?
No, actually.
No. And you probably won't again.
Yeah. That's probably part of the problem. We were kind of looking... we wanted to write to market, and we thought, well, romance, of course, is one of the biggest genres.
The biggest, without question. Yeah.
Absolutely. And we just kind of jumped in with both feet and didn't know what we were getting into. You know, we didn't do a lot of research. We didn't, you know, find out kind of, you know, the formulations. We didn't, you know, we didn't really dig into what we needed to, how we needed to write romance. And I think the books came out pretty good. You know, they were good books, but you know, after we wrote them, we were both just like, this is just not our genre.
So then you decided on sci-fi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fantasy.
Fantasy first. Yeah.
Okay. And what was that series? And Kerry, do you want to take that?
Sure. So the first series we published was the Judas Files. So the 9 is the first book in that series. So it's a contemporary fantasy. So we did a book, I think one book in there, and then also was doing the Rax, the sci-fi series. So that's a young adult, like a near future apocalyptic sci-fi series. And actually got through all of, so there's 5 books in the Judas Files series. So that's a complete series now. And the Rax trilogy is done. And then now we have the new one. And Chuck can talk about the new series.
Tell us about the new series. This is the Space Pirate, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, that was our, this is our new kind of look at writing the market. You know, we looked at sci-fi and space exploration, and we kind of both liked the idea of pirates and Firefly. And, you know, so that's kind of how we came to the Hometown Space Pirate, our first book in that series. And so we've got 3 books in that series so far. And that one's still open. I don't know how big that one's going to be.
And you started with fantasy, you did YA sci-fi, and now I guess adult sci-fi, would you say Space Pirate is?
Yes.
I guess they're close enough related. And we should say that you publish under a single pen name, right?
Yes. We publish under C.G. Harris.
Do your readers know who you are?
A few do. And I know I mentioned this to you at the conference. It's on our website. So if you dig into the About C.G. Harris, it's at the bottom somewhere. But it's not something that we tell them. Yeah, we don't. No. Most of them do not know.
C.G. Harris is a brand. Yeah, until now. Well, this is the writer's world, probably more than readers. But which ones have been more successful, the most successful out of that 3 series you've done?
I would say the Judas Files series, because there's 5 books in that, and it did everything it was supposed to. So, you know, it wasn't until about book 3 or 4 that we finally started seeing that read through. And once we completed the series, then I feel like people are willing to give it a chance because they know it's done.
Right.
So that was doing well.
You found marketing it easier with the series complete. Was it episodic in the sense that you knew that there was more to come, that stories weren't wrapped up at the end of one of the books?
Right. Each kid, like the first 3, I feel like could stand on their own. We try to give some recap at the beginning of each one and weave it in. Okay. By 4 and 5, yeah, you'll be lost if you haven't read the first 3. Yeah. But we knew initially, we had high hopes, thought that this would be like, I swear, 15 book series.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that didn't happen.
Okay.
Here we are at 5.
Yeah, 5. Well, that's a neat 5. Let's talk about the process then. Chuck, can you describe how you go about the writing process with Kerry?
Yeah. So actually, we get asked that a lot. You know, how does it work? How do you guys write together? And I think a lot of people assume, you know, it's a you write one chapter and then the person writes another chapter. And we don't really work that way. And I think at least the people that I've talked to, the most successful kind of writing partnerships don't really work that way. For us, we kind of play to each other's strengths, you know. What we do is we kind of come up with an idea together, kind of what the book's going to be about, the kind of the general premise, how the story's going to go. And then I will write out a really super detailed outline. I use a Microsoft Excel, it's with colors and everything. It's like super, it's ridiculous.
Right. It's over the top, the top detailed, but it works.
Yeah. And then I send it over to Carrie, and she goes through the outline and adds anything that she, that she thinks is might be missing or needs to be added in. And then once that's done, I write the first draft. And once the first draft is done, then we start the editing process. It goes over to Carrie and she adds in. I am not great at adding emotion into a manuscript. Mm-hmm. Carrie's great at that part of it. So, she picks it up and finds all those areas where, this is kind of flat here. And she'll add that part in to the manuscript. And then we kind of go back and forth with the editing process until it's finished. And then we wind up sending it out to editor at the end.
That obviously has to be a male-female thing here, because I remember very early days in the podcast, I can't remember who it was, but it was a married couple who wrote very similarly, that he would write a book, it would be like 35 or 40,000 words. And then she would add the humanity to it and the emotion. And it would end up at 80,000 words. But he would literally, his sentence was, and then he walked out and then he went to Denver or whatever, But she would say, turn the emotional side of it. Obviously, there's some sort of falling into stereotype there, but is a real thing. The first draft is not everyone's cup of tea. Some people love it, and I guess that works quite well, because editing is definitely not everyone's cup of tea. Some people absolutely hate the editing. But you are the editor, are you, Kerry, effectively?
Yes, not the final proofreader and all of that final stuff. But I love developmental editing,
right?
And I've worked with many writers in doing that. It's my favorite part of the process. And I'm not that. Chuck is a really fast writer, so he can crank out a first draft in a few weeks, and then I take it from there. And I love doing it. So I will go in. I like this new term, add the humanity to it.
I'm gonna
start using that. So I will fill it out and add those parts where I think some things are missing, and just fix any sentences, words, plot, anything like that.
And I suppose the difference between a hired in developmental editors, they're going to give you a document of notes back. Are you going into the manuscript and actually writing, which is what you wouldn't expect? So that's
right.
The difference here, isn't it?
Exactly. When I work with clients, I don't. I just highlight areas they need to fix. But because we work so well together, have an incredible amount of trust, I just go in and I write and I fix. I just go ahead and put what I think should be there.
And then does it go back to Chuck?
Mm-hmm. Goes back to him. And then back, then we usually go back and forth at least one more time after that.
And Chuck, you read it through. I mean, I'm only on my third book, so it's still fairly new to me, and I'm at the revision stage now. And one thing I find really difficult to do is to read the book without constantly intervening in it. But I think it's a good thing to do is to put it on a Kindle and read it to get a whole sense of it. I've so far failed every attempt because I just start editing again, so start writing. But can you read a book? Do you read it through?
Absolutely. It's funny you say that. Just, I think maybe the last two books that we've written, it might have been actually it was Hometown Space Pirate when we started it, that series. We realized that's the part that was missing in our editing process, because we would go back and forth. Like she said, she would add in her edits. It would come back to me. I would go through it. And, we would kind of go back and forth with our editing process. But just like you just said, it was almost piecemeal, where you're looking at it, you're picking it apart, you're picking out the pieces that need to be fixed, and never going through beginning to end, just reading the manuscript. And we both realized, that never happens. And it made a big difference, at that. Mm-hmm. And that's our final stage now is, when we're all done editing, we both, start at the very beginning. And, we both hold each other kind of accountable for this. There's no skimming. No skimming is allowed.
No skimming. And no stopping and going into the Scrivener.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Word document, whatever. Right.
Read it from beginning to end.
Yes.
And see how it flows. Of course, if there's big problems or something like that, make a little note or something like that. But, read it, just read it through and see. And it has made a really big difference, I think.
I'm going to try it again. I'm just finishing.
It's tough.
I'm just finishing my second pass. So it is time to give that a go. Let's just talk about your writing for a second, Chuck. So obviously you're quite a fast writer. Tell me about your routine, what you write in, what time you write, etc.
I write a lot, actually. I just use Microsoft Word. I write chapter by chapter, and whatever the chapter is, I go until that chapter's however long it is, I just go till it's done. And I usually get up in the morning, real early and start writing, and I don't know, probably from 6 to 1 or something like that, I will write until then. And then the afternoon I'll kind of spend doing other things, maybe marketing, or we do stuff with like covers, whatever the other minutiae that we get, that you have to do when you're self-publishing.
You have a fairly solid period of writing then, 6 to 1. Oh, yeah. You have some breaks, presumably.
Well, I'm working on that.
Oh, really? You are a writer. You're a writerholic. My name is Chuck, and I have not had a break for 14 days.
When he's writing or doing anything, he has to finish it. He will not stop until it's done, which is a superpower, but it's also a weakness at times. It's like, look, we got to move on. We got to keep going. He's like, no, I got to get this done.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'll sit there for like 6 hours, and not get up. Wow. And realize, ooh, maybe I should get up.
So you will do a few thousand words a day.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And writing in Word, which I can see is good for, I mean, editors always want a Word document, but I have to say from my writing point of view, as soon as I started writing in Scrivener, I don't know if you wrote in that before, Kerry, it's very difficult to go back to. I find Word documents become cumbersome. They take a long time to load, trying to find where you were working on. Is that work for you? Obviously it does.
It does work for us. Cause we love the track changes, and it works really well. We've never had any issues with that. And because of the detailed outline, that really helps at the beginning. Even when we're looking for things, I can even go to the outline and go, oh yeah, where was that section?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. You got the outline.
But there's it's very, it is, I don't know how many pages it would be printed out, a lot.
Of course, there is Atticus, Dave Chesson's thing.
Right.
Which is, it's been built for this process, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and I haven't used Atticus. I use Vellum when I'm
for formatting.
Because, so that part of the process is, Once we get it done, then I take over and do the formatting, the uploading, because I've self-published, I think it was 8 other books before working with Chuck, and those are just under my name. Okay. So I know that process. So I take it from there and go to Vellum and then upload it. We are published wide, so I upload it everywhere.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Have you experimented with KU with these books at all? You don't want to?
I did. I tried early on, I think. I know I did, but I'm trying to remember where in the process. We probably had 2 or 3 books. And I tried it in there. And I just like the idea of having it available on more platforms.
Yeah.
And when I look at the scribe count each month, I feel like we'd be losing out on like 30 or 40% of our income if I just did KU.
Yeah.
We do well. I am taking part in any promotions I can on any of the sites. So I do draft to digital for some, but I go direct to Kobo, direct to Barnes & Noble, direct to Google Play. So I can take part in their promotions.
Yeah. And also if you're happy to do it yourself, obviously there's a percentage scheme when you use the aggregators, right. But there's a lot more work to do. So I'm sensing that you do most of the marketing, Kerry, or?
I do take the lead on most of the marketing, yes. I mean, there's some things we do together and we discuss everything that we're doing. So Chuck knows what's going on, but I take the lead on that.
And what does the marketing look like?
So newsletter, we spent a couple of years building our newsletter. We didn't at first. And I'm here to say everybody should have a newsletter.
Yeah.
From the beginning. You know, we're like, oh, that seems like a lot of work. That doesn't, you know, why would we waste our time on that? Well, it helps because those readers are waiting for the next book. So it took about a year and a half. We went from 50 subscribers to over 3,000. And then now we're about 4,300 subscribers.
Wow, that's great.
Which is good. Yeah. So we put a newsletter out twice a month and special ones for launch days. But we get sales every time the newsletter goes out. So it's definitely helpful to do that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, obviously, I was alongside Mark. So my newsletter started a year and a half, 2 years before my book was published. But So I'm actually writing my novella to do exactly that, to really focus on the newsletter and try and build it. Just coming up to my thousandth subscriber, I think.
Nice.
This week. So. And Chuck, what do you do on the marketing front? You don't just sit there saying nothing. You must do something there.
No. Yeah, we kind of, I mean, it's kind of like the writing process, you know, except for Carrie's more where I'm heavier in the writing part. She's heavier in the marketing part, you know. So, you know, we discuss, you know, what we're going to do for marketing every month, you know, what we're going to fund and stuff like that. I do the Facebook ads, you know, I do a lot of the images and stuff like that in Canva, you know, put that stuff up. But but yeah, most of it Carrie does, you know, and it's more of a collaboration as far as, you know, what are we going to do? Kind of like, you know, when we're writing the book, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what works with the marketing is once a book comes out, I can focus on moving that, you know,
right,
selling that book, and Chuck can start on the next book. So it works really well in that aspect in terms of time. But Chuck, yeah, he does the Facebook ads, the newsletter. There's some parts that he's in charge of. And then we discuss what we're doing because we do newsletter promotions. So, you know, like Fussy Librarian, Crave Books, some of those. So it's a lot going on.
How often do you speak?
A lot. We are on the phone at least, I would say, four times a week.
Oh, yeah, at least,
Most days. And especially at the beginning, you know, there's certain times, like when we're brainstorming a book and then if we have a book launch, but we're on the phone most days.
You both,
wouldn't you say?
You both live in Colorado, but you're not that close to each other, are you? Or
we're an hour apart. We're not that far. Okay. So we do get together sometimes.
Yeah. And obviously you were together in Vegas. Did you learn much in Vegas?
Oh my, we learned a lot in Vegas. We got it. Now that Chuck feels better after getting sick,
having COVID, that's what Chuck got in Vegas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Looking at Kickstarter, direct marketing, we went to everything that we could on marketing. We just feel like it's ready. Things are ready to go to the next level. We have 11 books out. This current, the Viroquin Voyage, the Space Pirate series, it's had a really strong start, which we're excited about. So we just need to keep moving forward with that and ramp that up a little bit and see what we can do to, start bringing in a really, really good income.
Yeah.
From the books.
But of course, there's lots of positive sides in the way that you work together, particularly splitting the marketing effort and being able to overlap with projects. The other side of it is you split the income. So you basically have to sell twice as many books to earn if you were doing it by yourself, if you could do this by yourself. So in your plans for the future, I guess more books is the obvious one, but what, you know, you've had these three slightly different genres so far. What are your next plans? Perhaps Chuck, you can answer that.
Yes, I was just going to say Chuck.
Right now, we're focusing on the sci-fi series and expanding that. And as far as marketing, we're actually talking about kind of stepping into TikTok and seeing how that goes. Like I said, Kickstarter, we might do Kickstarter and direct sales. And just sci-fi seems to be something that that's kind of our niche. And I think we're going to stick with that for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And what's, because sci-fi itself is a fairly broad term. Is there a subgenre that the sort of space pirate series is? Is it, it's not space opera, is it? Or
no,
not space opera, space exploration.
Right.
I mean, it's a bit like a romance. You have to sort of work out what subgenre. Yeah. And sci-fi readers, I think, are reasonably particular, aren't they, about what they read? Although you presume you have had overlap from your list on your mm-hmm. books.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I always tell people when they ask about our books, I always tell them, you know, if you really, really love hard sci-fi, you know, things like The Expanse, you know, really technical sci-fi, don't touch our books. Because our books are, you know, they're fun. They're all about, you know, humor and you know, just they're space pirates, obviously, you know.
Yes, I was going to say the title does suggest it's the humorous element to it.
Right, yes. Right.
Was that the same with your other books? Have you always had a similar tone to them?
Yeah, except for the young adult series. That one was more, I mean, it's dystopian and aliens have come down and taken over. So that one has a little, there was not a lot of humor in that one.
Bit of an edge more, to it. So are you going to continue writing this one series, or are you going to do you think you might do another series that's similarly adult sci-fi? Kerry?
That's a great question, James. we're focused on this one. And yeah, we've left it where we can keep going on their exploration. So it could be another couple books while they're exploring. There is an overall quest that they have to, that eventually has to wrap up. So they are seeking to find the mother of the baby alien that they now have. So they are trying to find that alien.
Okay.
So we got to keep going and eventually wrap that up. But I don't know. We haven't really discussed yet exactly how many books that's going to be. We know what happened with the first series. When we thought we knew how many.
Yes.
So we're just kind of taking it book by book to see what happens.
Right.
Yeah.
Great. Well, it's fun to meet people who do things slightly differently. And I think the two of you do. It is amazing how you've met and how well you get on. And I don't mean like your friends. What I mean is how well you work together. It seems a very smooth operation. Unless there's terrible tantrums and you're just covering all that up.
No. And we've talked about that. No, there's no terrible tantrums. The only time that we have any discussions, it tends to be over one word that we're like, no, I want this word. And he wants, no, I want this word. But what really makes this whole thing work is we play to our strengths. Like we're not trying to duplicate anything. We are each bringing our own strengths to it. And we trust each other completely. And I think that's what really makes this work.
Yeah, right. No ego.
Right. It's not like, oh, I did this part and Chuck did this part. It's like, no, this is our project. These are our books. It just works out really well.
That's great. And Chuck, I feel that we're in your writing time, because it's nighttime for me, but it's like 9 o'clock in the morning for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
middle of your intensive session. Are you drafting at the moment?
Yeah, we're getting ready for the next book. Yeah, we're kind of in the planning phase now.
Right. So, it's the spreadsheet phase at the moment.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
MS Office does well from you, isn't it? Excel and Word seem to be the...
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of what he started in. And I guess it's just because I'm comfortable with those. It's what I've used. I've always been curious about Scrivener and even Atticus, you know, to see what they are. But, you know, it's hard to jump into different things when you're not used to them.
And also take time, which you haven't, you know, you don't want to disrupt everything by changing over. And the reason I mentioned Atticus, because I believe Dave has designed it for almost exactly this, you know, that you would write on it, then you'd basically give permission to an editor and they're in the manuscript and you can see what progress they've made on it. And then they just say but it's all in one place. It's all in the cloud.
But, yeah, it sounds interesting.
Yeah, interesting. But it's like all these things. If it's not broken, probably don't want to have to go waste time trying to fix it at the moment. But
it took us a Yeah, it took us a while to get this system, so we're just going to leave it as is right now.
Yeah, ignore me. I don't want to interrupt anything that's going really well for you, but it's brilliant. People can look you up, CG Harrison. If they wanted to look up your own books, where would they find those?
So it's on carrieflanagan.com. Yep, that's where all mine are.
And Chuck, these are your books.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Both our books, yeah.
Where does CG Harris come from?
Man, I don't even remember now. I think we just kind of came up with a name. Just...
You had it.
Oh.
You had it. You had it on Twitter, and you already had all these a crazy amount of followers. Yeah. It was like, well, let's just stick with that.
I know, we just stuck with it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I kind of came up with a pen name. But a long time ago, I can't even remember. Just play off of my name, probably.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, look, thank you so much indeed for joining us all the way from Colorado. Maybe we'll meet each other in Vegas again one day.
Yes, that's the plan.
Great.
You'll go back, Chuck, even though you came away with COVID this time?
Yeah, I'll just try to stay away from people a little more this time, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can do that.
Well, listen, it wasn't us, because we don't have it, unless we're those secret carriers who don't know. It's all those other people. All right, thanks very much indeed. It's been brilliant.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great.
This is the Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
Yeah, you do a little bit of collab. I don't know what you say, don't you, on your children's books. And you did a bit, did you do something in the past with...
Yeah, Steve Kavanagh, Scott Mariani, and Michael Ridpath have all traditionally published authors who wrote some Milton novellas. And actually, Steve Kavanagh was involved with The Vault as well, which is one of the Green 15 books. But yes, I have some experience in working with others. And yeah, it's fun. It's interesting kind of to bring different voices into writing about characters and worlds that you've created. It can be quite a liberating experience to do that.
And lots of different ways of doing this. So we know from the way that they work together, Kerry and Chuck work, is that Chuck does a first draft and then Kerry takes it from there, more or less. But they work together on the outline. We know Suzanne and Caroline, sisters from Kent, who write the Zodiac Academy series. They take a point of view each, and so basically do a chapter each as they work through the books. Fuse Books is hopefully this month publishing its first romance titles, written by the twins, Susie and Kath. And they write a book each, but they help each other out as things go. So there's lots of different ways of collaborating on a series or an individual book. And I guess at the same time, we should say it's probably not for everyone. I mean, we talk about writers being solitary creatures as if it's a negative thing. I think for some writers, that's a positive thing. They quite like working on their own and being creative and having total control over their own story. In fact, I think you're a bit like that as well, aren't you? You're very cautious about collaborating on your own creations.
Yeah, I prefer to do it myself. But there's, you know, as I said, there is a time when it's fun to bring other people in. And I've had some fun with those novellas and the Vault novel in the past. It was a good experience to do that. I would do it again.
Okay. All right. Well, we're off and running in 2023. The next time we record, we will actually be in 2023. This is time recording because we're still in December 22. So I hope you had a nice Christmas, we should say. Right. That's it. Thank you very much indeed for listening. Take part in that challenge, that URL, a final time, selfpublishingformula.com/Facebook challenge. Get in the group, even if it's just to soak up what everyone else is doing. We'll see you next time. All that remains for me to say is it's a goodbye from him.
And a goodbye from me. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Get show notes, the podcast archive, and free resources to boost your writing career at selfpublishingshow.com. Join our thriving Facebook group at selfpublishingshow.com/Facebook. Support the show at patreon.com/selfpublishingshow. And join us next week for more help and inspiration so that you can make your mark as a successful indie author. Publishing is changing, so get your words into the world and join the revolution with the Self-Publishing Show.